During the latter half of the 20th century, the United States and the Soviet Union, now Russia, waged a Cold War against one another, a Cold War being a non-shooting war. And during that conflict, the greatest fear of each country was that the other would launch a nuclear missile attack against it, starting a nuclear war. Therefore, each country built and installed early warning systems to detect enemy missile launches from across the globe. Well, in 1983, at the height of the Cold War, the Soviet Union's newly installed early warning system went off, giving an alert that the United States had indeed fired several nuclear missiles towards the Soviet Union. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Stanislav Petrov was the officer in charge of the Soviet air defenses the night that the early warning system sounded. And what he did next has been credited with possibly preventing all-out nuclear war. He did nothing. Lieutenant Colonel Petrov chose not to report the alarm up the chain of command to the officials in Moscow, as he was supposed to do. Why not? Well, because he suspected that it was a false alarm. And he knew that if he passed that message along to the political leaders in Moscow, it might actually start an all-out nuclear war, because Russia might launch a response, an attack in response. So he decided to wait for additional evidence that the United States had actually launched missiles. He wanted some more verification. Well, that verification never came. It was indeed a false alarm. Lieutenant Colonel Petrov was right. Well, brothers and sisters, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And as you were turning there, let me ask you this. What lesson can we learn from Lieutenant Colonel Petrov that we might apply to our own Christian lives? Well, the lesson is this. Do not automatically believe everything that you hear. That is the message that the Apostle John delivers in our verses this morning. He warns you, Christian, not to blindly believe every message you hear, even from those who might claim to be Christian pastors or teachers. So please follow along as I begin reading in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, what a great reminder it is in our verses this morning that your word does indeed stand forever. Father, it stands the test of time. It stands up against all challenges. Father, it is true. So we pray by your Spirit you would give us ears to listen to it this morning. Father, we need your Spirit. We need those ears to hear, because, Father, in our sin, we are hardened to the message of the gospel. We are hardened to your word. And so, Father, soften hearts, give ears to listen. And, Father, I pray that I would faithfully proclaim your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me briefly remind you of the context of John's letter here. Remember, the churches to whom John was writing were plagued by false teachers. We've seen this throughout our study. They were trying to lead God's people astray. And as we saw back in chapter 2, it seemed that they had been somewhat successful. They had departed from the church, and it seems that other members of the church had unfortunately followed after them. They had departed. Oh, the central error of these false teachers was their teaching that Jesus Christ did not truly come in the flesh. That was at the heart of the heresy they were teaching. They denied that the Holy God truly became man in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, they did not confess Christ. And so in the face of this false teaching, John called his fellow Christians to exercise wisdom and discernment. We see that discernment is essential to spiritual health and maturity. Oh, what is discernment? Well, Tim Challies defines it this way in his book, The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment, which we actually have in the library that you can check out. He says this, discernment is the skill of understanding and applying God's word with the purpose of separating truth from error and right from wrong. So fundamentally, he's saying that discernment is to distinguish between truth and error, between true teaching, that which comes from God, and false teaching, that which does not. In our verses for this morning, the Apostle John explains how you can both exercise discernment, how are we to exercise discernment, but also how you can grow in discernment. The main idea of these verses, and therefore this sermon, is this. Test what you hear by the word of God, and listen only to the word of God. Test what you hear by the word of God, and listen only to the word of God. That main idea will serve as the outline of our sermon. Point one, test what you hear by the word of God. We'll see that in verses 1-3. And then second, in verses 4-6, listen only to the word of God. So first, test what you hear by the word of God. Now, in our digital age, identity verification is a necessary and important part of our daily life. Before you can access your bank account online, you must enter a password. Maybe if you have your phone, your fingerprint will do. Your bank might send you an SMS with a PIN code to verify a credit card purchase before you're allowed to make a purchase online. Well, why are all these things necessary? Well, it's because there's deceivers out there. There are scammers who would like nothing more than to steal your identity and steal your money. So the bank wants to verify that it is really you. They have a legal responsibility to be at least somewhat discerning. But so do you. You have to be on guard against scammers yourself. You have to be discerning so that you are not deceived. Now, I think most of us understand the need for discernment in our daily lives and the practical matters of things like banking. But the sad reality is that many Christians do not see the importance of discernment in their spiritual lives. So many Christians uncritically and unquestioningly accept just about any message or teaching from anyone who might call themselves a Christian. The distant uncle of my cousin's wife, whom I have never met, posted a link to a sermon on YouTube. Oh, it must be fine. Beloved, the word of God delivered through the Apostle John still speaks to us today. It is still needed for the church today. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Notice that John seems to equate false spirits, spirits that are not from God, with false prophets. He uses the term somewhat interchangeably. They are virtually one in the same. Not exactly, but they're virtually one in the same. So why then does John use the term spirit throughout these verses? I think because, as John Stott puts it, behind every prophet is a spirit, and behind each spirit is either God or the devil. Behind each prophet is a spirit, and behind each spirit is either God or the devil. Brothers and sisters, the spirit that stands behind all false teachers or all false prophets in this world is the spirit of Satan. As Jesus said in John 8:44, Satan is the father of lies. It is his spirit. It is his influence that animated the false teachers of John's day and still animates the false teachers that are among the church today. Well, notice in verse 3, that John says those who do not confess that Jesus is from God are under the influence of the spirit of the Antichrist rather than the spirit of God. So the Antichrist has not yet come, But the spirit that will animate that Antichrist one day is already in the world, already behind false teaching, already leading people astray. Verse 6, false teachers, false prophets, they have the spirit of deception rather than the spirit of truth. Now, beloved, I think we are so often tempted to think of Satan's opposition towards the church as something outside of the church. You know, maybe persecution, maybe mistreatment, maybe harassment of some sort. But often, probably more often than not, Satan seeks to destroy and corrupt the church from the inside through false teaching, through leading people astray. Brothers and sisters, discernment begins with recognizing that Satan is active today and would like nothing more than to lead you astray. I mean, just read through the New Testament. It is filled with warnings about false teachers. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 24, verses 24 through 26. For false messiahs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders to lead you astray, if possible, even the elect. Take note, I have told you in advance. So if they tell you, see, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Or see, he's in the storerooms, do not believe it. Now, Jesus essentially delivered the same message as John. Do not believe every spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, what does this mean for you? Well, it means you should not automatically or unquestioningly believe the message of everyone who simply calls themselves a prophet or a man of God. You should not assume that every church in your city is faithfully or accurately teaching the Word of God. You should not automatically believe everyone who claims to have heard a word from God. You should definitely not assume that all so-called Christian teaching that you encounter on the internet is true, even if it is popular. Now, friends, this does not mean you should automatically disbelieve everything you hear either. It does not mean that you should reject everything that you hear. That is not John's instruction. John says, test what you hear. You are to test what you hear. Oh, you might be wondering, how then do we test these things? Thankfully, John tells you. He says you're to test what you hear by the word of God. Look again at verses 2 through 3. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Brothers and sisters, what John is telling you to test is the content of the message. And we do that by the word of God. So if we go back to Jesus' words in Matthew 24, again, he warned that false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders to lead astray. Beloved, the truth is there is such a thing as false signs and wonders. Satan is powerful, and some people may perform signs and wonders because they are empowered by the spirit of the Antichrist, not the Spirit of God. Others may simply seek to deceive through fake signs and wonders, often for their own personal gain. Peter Popoff was an American televangelist and self-proclaimed faith healer who rose to fame in the 1970s and 1980s. But his ministry came tumbling down when it was revealed that he used a hidden earpiece during his healing crusades to receive secret radio messages from his wife with specific information about certain members of the audience. He claimed to receive those messages from the Holy Spirit, but it was a lie. His wife was just passing on the information people had provided on their prayer cards they had filled out on their way into the crusade. Now, do not misunderstand me. I am not trying to say there is no such thing as true miracles, or that every supposed miracle is a scam or the work of Satan. I am emphatically not saying that. So don't come up to me after the service and say, why don't you believe in miracles? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say that signs and wonders alone are not the standard by which we are to discern truth from error. Signs and wonders alone are not the standard by which we are to discern truth from error. Just because someone may speak in tongues or claim to heal does not automatically mean they have the Spirit of God. The late pastor R.C. Sproul put it this way: we are never to follow anyone who perverts the truth of God's word, no matter how amazing that person's work seems to be. Church, you are to evaluate prophets or pastors or teachers by the content of their message, specifically their claims about Jesus Christ. Do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God? Now, friends, this means more than simply claiming the name of Jesus or saying the name of Jesus or chanting the name of Jesus over and over again in a prayer. After all, even the unclean or evil spirits acknowledged who Jesus was during his time on earth. They knew who he was, but they did not honor Jesus, they did not adore Jesus, and they certainly did not follow Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the confession that John speaks of here is a confession of faith. It is not just to know who Jesus is, to be able to intellectually recite some things about Jesus. It is to love him. It is to trust him. It is to believe everything he said is true. He is who he claimed to be, and to therefore follow him in faith, to lay down your life in obedience to him. That is what John is talking about when he's talking about confessing Jesus. Beloved, Jesus is the dividing line of all of history. The question for all of humanity is what you believe about Jesus. And many of our friends and neighbors here in the UAE are happy to call him a prophet, but they will in no way confess that he is God. Jesus is the dividing line of all of history, and all false teaching distorts him and his message in some way. Often, in very subtle or deceptive ways. So if we read John chapter 1, verse 1, these famous words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Oh, friends, Jehovah's Witnesses have added one little letter to that verse. One little letter. But that little letter makes all the difference. The Jehovah's Witnesses have rewritten the Bible to say this: the Word was a God. Did you catch that? They say Jesus was a God, one of many, not the one true living God who took on human flesh. Brothers and sisters, false teaching is often subtle. Satan slightly twists and distorts the truth to make it sound good, to make it sound right. So the undiscerning are led astray. Now, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 5, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Friends, that is the core of the gospel message. That is the message about Jesus that you must believe if you are to be saved. You must believe that the creator of the entire universe condescended, came, and took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. You must believe he lived the perfect life that you could not live, a life of perfect obedience to the Father, that he died on the cross for your forgiveness, taking the wrath of God against sin in your place, and that 3 days later, he literally and truly rose from the grave, so that you could receive eternal life. That is the gospel message that all who have the Spirit of God will proclaim. Brothers and sisters, true Christians do not have to agree on every doctrine. Not everyone who disagrees with you on some matter of theology is a false teacher. True Christians may disagree on the details of the end times. They may disagree on whether miraculous gifts like tongues and healing still continue today or whether they have ceased. They might disagree on a host of other teachings in the Bible. All of the Bible's teachings are important. I want you to hear that clearly. All of the Bible's teachings are important. We should labor to understand what the Bible teaches about everything. But they are not all of first importance. Everything the Bible teaches is important, but not everything in the Bible is of first importance. There are things true Christians can disagree about, but they cannot disagree about the gospel. They cannot disagree about the message about Jesus. Well, why? Well, in part, because it is the job of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus known. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to exalt Christ. In John 15, 26, Jesus tells his disciples, "When the Counselor comes, the one who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." To again quote John Stott, he writes, "The Spirit of God always honors the Son of God." Jesus taught that it is the Holy Spirit's particular ministry both to testify to and to glorify Jesus. Therefore, those who truly have the Spirit of God will confess Jesus, because the work of the Holy Spirit is to exalt Christ. Therefore, those who have the Spirit of God will likewise exalt Christ. Therefore, the message of the gospel, the message of the cross, will be central to the ministry of anyone who has the Spirit of God. It is Jesus who will be emphasized. They will draw people's eyes to Jesus first, not to signs and wonders. They will seek to make his name great, not their own. They will center their ministry on the Word of God, because it is in the Word of God that we find the message about Christ. Beloved, the Word of God is the standard by which we are to test every spirit. The Word of God is the standard by which we are to judge the teaching that we hear from pastors or prophets or others. The Word of God is the standard. This is where you find the true and unchanging message about Jesus. Now turn with me in your Bibles for a moment to Acts chapter 17. If you have your Bibles with you, and I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you when you come. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. On Paul's second missionary journey, he and Silas were chased out of the city of Thessalonica by a group of Jews who were angered by the message about Jesus that Paul and Silas proclaimed. After being chased out of Thessalonica, they went to the city of Berea, which was about 80 kilometers away. And this is what Acts 17 records about what happened when they arrived in Berea. So look with me, starting in verse 10. I'm going to start a partway through. Upon arrival, so halfway through verse 10, upon arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women, as well as men. Oh, the Bereans listened to the message that Paul and Silas brought to them, but then they tested it. How did they test the message? Well, by the word of God. They searched the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, that is, to see if they confirmed the message that Paul and Silas indeed delivered. And they're praised for this. They're not criticized for this. They're praised for this. The Bible says they were more noble in character than those in Thessalonica. They were praised for testing the message they heard by the Word of God. That's a sign of Christian maturity. Brothers and sisters, John's command for you in the verses that we are studying this morning is to be a Berean. Test every spirit, test every teaching by the Word of God. Church, you should test what I say to you by the Word of God. In fact, this is one of the reasons I try to point you to the actual verses of the Bible when I preach. I want you to see that it is coming, that what I say to you is coming from God's Word. This is one of the reasons that we usually just preach straight through books of the Bible here. We want to unfold the Word of God so that you can understand it, so you're better equipped to test things by the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, the Word of God must be the highest authority in the Christian life. It must be the supreme standard by which all other things are judged, because it is God's true and perfect Word to us. Now, unfortunately, in practice, churches and Christians sometimes elevate other things above the Word of God. Some give priority to the traditions of the church over the Word of God. Some elevate human reason over the Word of God. This is the error of much of liberal Christianity. They reject the supernatural elements of the Bible because they cannot be proven scientifically, because they do not pass the test of their own human reason. So it is their reason that stands over the Word of God. Other churches and other Christians elevate experience over the Word of God. To again quote Tim Challies, some people depend on mysticism, upon ways of supposedly knowing God apart from the Bible. They forsake biblical reason in favor of feelings, voices, visions, or other subjective means of supposedly knowing God. This is a deadly error. For spiritual discernment must be founded on God's objective revelation of Himself in Scripture. We can only judge between what is wrong and what is right when we know what God says to be true. We can know this only from Scripture. Now, church, I am not denying that God may sometimes use subjective means like the impressions of our hearts and minds to help guide His people. But you must subject those things, like everything else, to the Word of God. How many Christians are led astray by foolishly assuming that their thoughts and feelings are words from the Lord, and they put them on par with Scripture. You must test your feelings and your impressions by the Word of God. Friends, I think one of the reasons that discernment is so lacking in much of the church today is because knowledge of God's Word is so lacking in much of the church today. Beloved, if you want to grow in discernment, to be able to distinguish truth from error, you must grow in your knowledge of God's Word. You must grow in your understanding of Christian doctrine. If you want to grow in discernment and be protected from error, you should prioritize joining a church that faithfully preaches the Word of God and that does not shy away from doctrine. Join a church in which the elders show themselves to be students of God's Word, so they're equipped to protect the flock from error, to keep out the wolves. And parents, you should desire to help your children grow in discernment. Take time to teach them the Word of God, but also take time to point out the lies and the false messages of the world that they encounter. To give you one example of what that could look like, sometimes to our children's frustration, we might pause a movie that we're watching or stop to talk to our kids after we finish a movie to talk to them about the false messages of the world that might have been present in that movie. We might have enjoyed the movie, but we might talk to them about the worldview issues that are in that movie so they can learn to distinguish truth from error and not unquestioningly accept the gospel of Disney instead of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My friends, John's instruction to you is to test everything by the Word of God. And in order to do that, you must know the Word of God. But knowledge alone is not enough. As we see in the verses that follow, you must also listen to the Word of God. So that brings us to the second point of the sermon. Listen only to the Word of God. Look again at verse 4. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Well, John was encouraging the believers he was writing to because they had not listened to the voice of the false teachers that had led so many astray. They had not been deceived. they had discerned the error of the message that these false teachers had been delivering, and they had stayed faithful to the gospel that had been delivered to them by the Apostle John. And this was not because they were so wise and discerning in and of themselves. It was because they had the Spirit of God in them. And the Spirit of God is greater than the one that is in the world. Brothers and sisters, to discern truth from error, to guard against falsehood, we need both the Word of God, but we also need the Spirit of God. As John Calvin writes, unless the Spirit of wisdom is present, there is little or no profit in having God's Word in our hands. Unless the Spirit of wisdom is present, there is little or no profit in having God's Word in our hands. Oh, didn't we see that with Ahab and Jehoshaphat? They had the Word of God, but they didn't listen to the Word of God. Friends, the Spirit illuminates the truths of God's Word to us, helping us to discern truth from error. And the Spirit also transforms our deceitful hearts, giving us a desire to actually listen and heed and follow after the Word of God. Quote Tim Challies one last time, as we seek after discernment, our sinful natures will fight against us. We will soon discover a part of ourselves that does not want to make clear distinctions between what is good and evil, and part of ourselves that does not want to be committed to what is good and right and true. And so the first enemy we must overcome in our discipline of discernment is ourselves. Oh, brothers and sisters, the siren song of the world still calls to our sinful hearts. And we would surely follow after it if we were left on our own. But praise be to God that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. If you are his, he has delivered you. He has broken your bondage to sin and to self. By his voice, he called you out of darkness to follow him. And he abides in you by his Spirit. Therefore, if you are his, you will listen to his voice. Not because of your own discernment or wisdom, but because you have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. Brothers and sisters, it takes a supernatural work of God for you to hear his voice and to follow him. John's core message in verses 5 and 6 is that those who are of God, those who have been born of God, will listen to the Word of God. This is what will distinguish them from the world. Because on the other hand, those who are of the world, those who have not been born of God, well, they will listen to the message of the world instead. As John says at the end of verse 6, this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Which one do we have? It's by the voice we listen to. Which one do other people have? It's by the voices that they listen to. Verse 5, they are from the world, the false spirits or false teachers, that is. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. The false teachers are from the world. They bring a message from the world, and they win an audience from the world. Beloved, beware of any pastor or church who says that we must change the gospel message to make it more appealing to the world. Yes, we want to do our best to present the gospel in a way that is understandable and compelling, but not by changing the message, not by diminishing the message in any way. Friends, if what drives a church is primarily the questions of what works or what draws a crowd, if those are the questions that drive the ministry of the church, what works and what draws a crowd, that church will quickly drift away from the Word of God. We do not test every spirit by the size of their ministry, but by the Word of God. Prosperity preachers regularly draw thousands of people to their crusades. They have huge social media followings, but they draw people with a message from the world. They appeal to the lust of the flesh by promising that following Jesus will lead to earthly comfort, material gain, great health, success in life. Hey, follow Jesus, you just get all these things. Friends, it is easy to draw people with a message from the world. We do not test every spirit by the size of their ministry, but by the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, the Apostle Paul warned Timothy that the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. You know, it's amazing how much change in Christian doctrine today ends up finding itself in agreement with the world or in agreement with the prevailing culture. You know, some church or perhaps even a whole denomination announces that all of a sudden it is re-examining its historic teaching on some hot-button cultural issue, maybe like LGBTQ plus rights. Well, almost inevitably, the new position that the church or denomination adopts finds itself in agreement with the surrounding culture. The same thing is true about so many professing Christians who begin to question their own faith. They reject any of the Bible's doctrines that are controversial and unpopular in a futile effort to remain both a Christian and culturally acceptable, or a Christian and culturally popular. Many, it seems, give an ear to the message of the world. But friends, those who have been born of God give their ear to the word of God above all else. You know, kids, baby penguins can distinguish the call of their father from the call of thousands of other penguins in the colony. And this is essential to their survival. When the father returns from hunting food after a week in the ocean, the baby penguin must be able to hear the call of his father and find him from among the thousands of other penguins if he wants to get a meal. He's got to be able to find that meal with his father. So in his great wisdom, God has made it so that each baby penguin can recognize the unique call of his or her father. I don't know if you've ever heard penguins call. It sounds like just a raucous of noise. I can't even distinguish any one penguin from another, and yet these baby penguins can distinguish the words or the call of their father. Well, friends, in our sinful natures, we do not naturally listen to the voice of God. We do not have ears to hear God. But by his sovereign and saving power, God gives his children ears to hear his voice. Jesus said this to his disciples when he described himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. He says this: the sheep follow him, the shepherd, because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Friends, that is John's message in verse 6. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. John's phrasing in that verse is interesting. He uses the term we and us. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Who is John speaking of here? Friends, he's speaking of the apostles. It was they who were the eyewitnesses to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It was they who were particularly commissioned by God to proclaim the truth about Jesus. It was the apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the words of the New Testament. And then they laid down those words in the words of Scripture. And then the office of apostle ceased upon their death. So we listen to the voice of God. We listen to the voice of our good shepherd as we listen to the words of Scripture as given through the apostles. We hear from God as we come to his word. That is how we listen to the message of the apostles. That is how we listen to the voice of God. And beloved, you must make a continual practice of listening to the word of God. That is what John has so emphasized in this letter. You must abide in the word of God so that you might grow in faith and holiness and love. The path to Christian maturity is to continually train yourself by the help of the Spirit to listen to and to follow the words of Scripture. Again, if you have your Bibles with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. I'm actually going to read from the ESV translation, so it might be slightly different from the one you have in front of you. But in these verses, the author of Hebrews rebukes his fellow Christians for their spiritual immaturity, which was evident both in their attitude towards God's word and their understanding of God's word. So Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Their ears had been dulled to God's word. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Oh, these believers had grown dull of hearing. They had at some point really stopped listening to the word of God. They had stopped growing in the knowledge of God. They had just stayed put where they were or gone backwards. And notice in verse 14 that the author writes that it is solid food that is for the mature. That is to say, it is the deep doctrines of Scripture that are for the mature. Just as a baby graduates from a bottle full of milk to solid food, so Christians are to grow in their knowledge of God's word. They're to gain a deeper understanding of Scripture. This is how their powers of discernment are trained. That is how they are trained to distinguish good from evil in their everyday lives. Commenting on these verses from Hebrews, Richard Phillips writes this: the recipients of this letter were like many Christians today who think that theology is a waste of time. What is important, they say, is that we get along with each other. Then they cite passages commending a childlike faith, as if that were the same thing as a childish faith. That is, one that is indifferent to or ignorant of the word of God. Brothers and sisters, childlike faith is not the same as childish faith. Well, church, the questions that John leaves you with are these. To what are you inclining your ear? Are you listening to the word of God? Are you listening to something else? Are you listening to the word of God or one of the many messages that are so prevalent in our world? Are you living as if God exists to make you happy, healthy, and wealthy? Are you living as if you exist for the glory of God? Are you living out your own personal truth? Or are you living according to the truth of God's word? Are you following your heart? Or are you following the word of God? Have you grown dull of hearing? Brothers and sisters, the answer to those questions will be made evident in your life. Your life over time will provide evidence of whether you have the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Over time, those who have the spirit of God will grow in their love for his word. There may be times that they grow dull of hearing. There will be times when your desires for the word of God will wane, as will mine. Over time, those who have the Spirit of God will increasingly desire to listen to the Word of God, to be guided by the Word of God. And those who have the Spirit of God, those who give their ear to the Word of God, will also increasingly grow in holiness. Why? Because Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." As we have seen over and over again in 1 John, obedience to the word of God is the fruit of those who have been born by God. That obedience comes as we listen to the voice of God, as we're led by the Spirit to follow after the words that we find in Scripture. Beloved, discernment is a vital part of the Christian life. Discerning truth from error is critical to spiritual growth, because we only grow as we feast on the nourishment that comes to us in the Word of God. This world in which we live is full of lies and deceptions. It is full of false messages that seek to lead you astray. It is full of things that simply want to distract you away from your time in the Word of God. But friends, God has given you what you need to stand against the world's lies. He has given you His Spirit. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And brothers and sisters, He has given you His Word. So test what you hear by it. Increasingly give your ear to it. Pray for the Spirit to illuminate it to you as you come to it. Grow in your knowledge of it. By doing so, train yourself for godliness. Brothers and sisters, this is how you keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray.